I'm 69. My wife, Diane, is 64. We've been married for 41 years, and she was gone for a week, and I could not wait for her to return. I don't think I would do too well without her. Just to see her around, to have her around, to know she's here, to hear her, to maybe disagree about things with her, to just be with her. God gives us those kind of relationships, and those are important in our lives, to know that we have those people that are there for us no matter what, and that they love us no matter what, with all of our warts and all of our problems and all of the maybe the baggage that we have or bring into a relationship, that they love us anyways. And some people are fortunate to have multiple relationships like that. I don't mean to have many wives, but to have those kind of people in their lives that are always there for them. But if you don't have that, I guess we need to pray for you, and you'll find that, because it's really important to have those people that love us unconditionally, just like God. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for your word. And Lord, we just thank you for how it's still alive and active. And so, Lord, help us to see every time we open your word what it is you want us to hear and what it is you want us to find. And to not be afraid to look at that same old passage one more time to maybe find something new there. So, Lord, help us today to just open our ears and our hearts and our minds to whatever it is that you have, because, Lord, you don't speak without you wanting us to hear something from it. So, Lord, I know that those that listen, that if 100 people listen, they may hear 100 different things from you. So, Father, just help us to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in a previous podcast, I think it was the one Nice Body, I mentioned that there was a word that just, I kept hearing that over and over, and an emotion is what it is. And, I was hearing it in messages, podcasts, songs, scriptures, you name it. It just kept coming at me. And, I knew that the Lord wanted me to speak about it, and I kind of kept putting it off, and the more I kept putting it off, the more I kept hearing about it. So it was like God saying, you got the message yet? You finally figured out what it is that I want you to do here? And sometimes I'm a little slow, and other times I'm slower. So it took me a while, but that word, that emotion, is fear. Well, I wanted to see what the dictionary had to say about fear. And but I could not believe the number of words that or phrases that it gave. But it says that fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Well, here's just a few of the synonyms that they gave. Terror, alarm, anxiety, worry, nervousness, doubt, the willies, the heebie-jeebies, the Joe Blakes. No, I never heard of that one before. Horror, terror, and there's another 30 probably besides that. And I kept looking at this, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really, affects us maybe in more ways than what we think, because I didn't realize that fear was, that prevalent. So I went to the Bible to see how often it spoke about fear. And the word fear in the NIV in the Old Testament appears 232 times, and in the New Testament, 52 times. Now in the King James, the word fear appears 312 times, excuse me, in the Old Testament and 83 times in the New Testament. I guess people were more fearful back in the 1600s, I'm not sure, but probably more likely that we've just replaced the word fear with something else in different translations of the Bible. But fear is the root of most common negative emotions. Fear of losing our worthiness that can make us jealous. You know, seeing what others have and, you know, that they're worth more than we are. Fear of losing honor. You know, that can bring anger. You know, you get passed over for a promotion, or, you know, somebody, you know, breaks off a relationship with you. You know, that can bring anger. Fear of losing our security. You know, that can bring anxiety. You know, when we, you know, lose our job, you know, downsize or laid off or whatever, and, you know, you start wondering, well, how am I going to pay the bills? You know, what am I, how am I going to send our kids to college? You know, how am I going to do this? And then, you know, the list just goes on and on. You know, some people will say, you know, well, I'm not afraid. You know, I'm just cautious. Well, you know, you're afraid. Okay, that's fear. And you say, well, it's not fear. You know, I just have doubts. Well, that's fear. Okay? Because a rose by any other name is still a rose, and fear by any other name is still fear. So, what's the big deal? Okay, I think most people, if not all people, have a fear of something. And some people have more than others. I like the TV show Monk. Okay, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that or not, but Monk is this detective. Well, he'd been kicked off of the police department, but he still works with them, and he has an assistant because he just needs somebody to help him. His assistant, Natalie, she maintains a list of fears, and in this one episode, they were out someplace, and there was frogs that were there. And she asked him if he was afraid of frogs, and he said, well, I don't know, I've never been close to one. And then a few seconds later, he says, yes, you know, I'm afraid of frogs. And so he had her put that on the list between two other fears, because he wanted to make sure that that was on the list there someplace. So I thought, well, let's look up and see how many different phobias there are, okay? There's an official list, okay? If you go to phobialist.com, it gives you all of these phobias. And I never knew there were so many. There were 68, and that was just the A's, all right? And that was one of the longer letter lists. But, you know, there was just an unbelievable number of phobias. Now, there's some that we hear about and are familiar with, you know, claustrophobia, you know, fear of being closed in, or acrophobia, the fear of spiders. You know, there's been movies about that, of course. And here's a few more. How about allophobia? Okay. That is a fear of flutes. Okay. And here's one close to Monk and his fear of frogs. This Bafanophobia is a fear of toads. And one that I thought was kind of interesting, and it's one that maybe a lot of people have, but they never had a name for it, and that's ephebophobia. That is a fear of teenagers. Okay, maybe some of you can relate to that. And how about this one, cathesophobia? That's a fear of sitting down. Okay, that would be a terrible phobia to have. I'm not sure if you could ever drive a car, but that would be rather difficult. How about this one? Saucerophobia. That's a fear of parents-in-law. Now, some of you may think you're suffering from that. I don't know. I didn't have that problem. And then, of course, the phobia of all phobias is phobiophobia, or phobophobia, and that's a fear of phobias. Okay, You know, we could look at that list, and most of us can find something that we could say, well, you know, maybe I've got this phobia. You know, I didn't realize I had that phobia, but, you know, maybe I do. And, you know, most of us know of people that display a great amount of fear. You know, a lot of people are afraid of thunderstorms. I didn't look that one up. But I remember when I was maybe 12, so my sister would have been about 15, you know, each of us in a year or so there. And we were in Florida, and there was this thunderstorm that seemed like it just lasted all day long. And we had rented this house, and, you know, it was like the thunderstorm was right there. It wasn't off in the distance. It was right there. And my sister was afraid of thunderstorms, afraid of the thunder. And she was, like, running from room to room, excuse me, screaming. And I was sitting there laughing at her, of course. But, and, you know, she wouldn't go, like, to the fireworks or anything like that, just the sound. A friend of mine, her mother, if there was a thunderstorm in the middle of the night, she got up, she got dressed, she got her little box of important papers that she had, and would sit there by the door, you know, waiting for the house to get struck by lightning so she could run out. Never happened, and, you know, it never came close to happening. I'm not sure why she had that, but, you know, a lot of people have a fear of heights. And we're a fan of the TV show Amazing Race, and it seems like, you know, there's always thing dealing with heights. You know, you've got to, you know, rappel down here, you've got to, you know, take this rope bridge across a valley or whatever. And it's always the people that have a fear of heights that seem to be doing these things. So fear is not a bad thing. You know, I mean, there's some things that we need to have a fear of, you know, a healthy fear. You know, I mean, fire is a great thing. But in the wrong context, it can bring fear. You know, if we ride with a bad driver or a drunk driver, you know, it can instill fear in us, and that's a good thing. You know, I remember my brother, who was 8 years older than myself, and going with him sometimes when he had been drinking and all, and just wondering if we were going to make it home. And this is back before cars had seat belts in them. You know, and he was in his early 20s or so, so I would have been in my early teens, and you know, just had the fear of whether or not we're going to make it. You know, if someone is threatening you or a loved one, you know, that instills fear in you. So even though fear is an emotion, it can affect us physically. You know, with our digestive tract, you know, wanting to empty your body so you can run away faster. Okay, never thought about that. And your body sends blood away from your digestive tract. Okay, didn't know that either. Sweating, you know, if you're dealing with fear, it can cause you to sweat more than normal. Sleeplessness, you know, your fear won't let you go to sleep, or you wake up in fear, you know, from a dream, a nightmare that you had. You know, but sometimes people put themselves in a position of fear. You know, some people are smart enough to not do this, and others, you know, not so much. You know, the scary movies that are out there, Friday the 13th, okay, that came out in 1980. I didn't think it was that long ago. It's 38 years ago. But then they came out with part two and part three. In 1984, they came out with the final chapter, okay? But they made too much money, and so the final chapter wasn't really the final chapter, because in 1985, they came out with A New Beginning. And then they had another in 86 and 88, and then in 93, they had The Final Friday, okay? And it kind of was, because then they just quit calling them Fridays. It was Jason X and Freddy versus Jason in 2003. And what do you imagine that they did in 2009? They made a remake of the original. And, you know, people would see these movies and they say, "Ah, I was scared to death. You know, oh, you know, it was so terrible. Well, I can't wait for the next one to come out." Yeah, I mean, why would you do that? You know, if something is going to put you over the edge like that, why would you want to do that? And, you know, I mean, some people go on roller coasters for the same thrill as that. But I got to get serious. So let's get to the Bible. What does the Bible say about people that displayed fear? How about Jonah? Okay, his fear was what? His fear was succeeding. He didn't want the people of Nineveh to repent and to turn to God. They didn't deserve it, and he didn't want them to. And so he was afraid they were going to listen to him, and so he went the other way in fear. Okay, and how about Elijah? Okay, Elijah had just defeated and slaughtered 450 prophets of Baal, and then he runs away from Jezebel in fear. He was afraid of a girl. Okay, 1 Kings 19, 2 and 3, New Living Translation, it says, "So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, 'May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them.' Elijah was afraid and fled for his life." I'd probably do the same thing, okay? I wouldn't care if it was a girl or who it was, okay? Because she wasn't going to do it herself. She was going to send the troops out to do it for her. Okay, and then there is Gideon, okay? In Judges chapter 6, okay, this is my take on what happened. Okay, it says, "An angel of the Lord finds Gideon where? Threshing wheat in a wine press." You can't thresh wheat in a wine press. You need to have a breeze to separate the wheat and the chaff. So why was Gideon there? Why else? Okay, in verse 12 of Judges 6, it says, "The angel calls Gideon a mighty warrior." Gideon's response, "I'm the weakest one in the weakest family." He was afraid of being caught threshing wheat in the open, and so he, in fear, went into the wine press to do it. And his whole life was built around fear because he was the weakest one from the weakest family. So let's go to the New Testament. What about Mary? Okay, Luke chapter 1. It says, "When the angel came to her," verse 29 says that she was troubled. Other translations say that she was perplexed, thoroughly shaken, or confused. What it really means is she was afraid. And Gabriel could see it, because in verse 30, Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid." He didn't say, "Oh, don't be troubled. Oh, you shouldn't be perplexed. Why are you confused?" No, he said, "Don't be afraid," okay, because he could see the fear that she had, which you and I probably have the same fear. So what about the disciples? Okay, the disciples acted in fear often. Okay, when they were out in the boat during the storm, different times. Okay, the one time Jesus was on the boat and he was sleeping, and they go to him and say, "How can he be sleeping? We're gonna die here." And Jesus knew that they were fearful of what they thought could happen, and so he calmed the storm. And another time Jesus wasn't in the boat and he came walking to the disciples, and they saw him and they were afraid because they thought he was a ghost. And then we got good old Peter. Okay, what's Peter do in Matthew 14? He says, "Hey, I'm going to walk on the water. Jesus told me to come out and join him and walk on the water." And so he hops out of the boat and he's walking out to Jesus. And then he starts to look around and he starts to think about what's happening around him. And so he let his fear get the best of him. Okay, so he was acting in fear. He'd had courage, but the courage is gone, and now the fear had set in. Let me give you one more. Now, you may not agree, and I'm not sure if I agree, but it was just a thought that came to me, so I want to give it to you. And that is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Don't you think that the human side of Jesus had to have some fear? He knew what was coming. He knew from the beginning of time. He knew that he was going to be arrested. He knew that he was going to be beaten. He knew that he was going to be crucified. The human side of him had to have some fear for what was coming. And when he called out to his father, he said, "I don't want this, but I want your will." So I guess I'd maybe have to say that Jesus had some human fear at that time. But sometimes all it takes to defeat fear is a few moments of courage, and that's what Jesus showed. It was like, you know, I got to put this down because I've got to be able to do what it is that I've come here to do. Okay, and so he realized that. There's a popular contemporary Christian song by Zach Williams. And let me give you the words. It says, "When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough, when he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone, when he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home, when he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed, when he told you you could be the one that grace could never change." And this is a chorus. "Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire. Because fear, he is a liar." Fear gives us nothing but negative. Okay, there's never going to be anything positive that fear is going to bring when it's trying to work against us. Okay, Jesus tells us in the beginning of John 10:10, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." What's the biggest way Satan accomplishes this? Through fear. Okay, your fear starts to act in your life, and you start losing your joy. You start losing your passion. Okay, and fear will destroy your life. Just like the Zach Williams song tells us, okay, fear says, "You're not worthy. Are you kidding me? You know, you think you're a Christian? You know, you want to go on a mission trip? Give me a break. What are you going to do? You're not good enough. You know, do you want to sing a solo? Well, with your voice, are you kidding me? My, that'd be terrible. You're not beautiful. I mean, look around you. Look at all those women around you. Look at all those good-looking guys around you. Man, you're ugly compared to them. You're not rich enough. Okay? You know, look at all the bills you've got. Look at how much money you make. You know, you're never going to amount to anything. You're not smart enough. Oh, you're going to put in for a promotion? Are you kidding me? Who's going to choose you? You're not tough enough. Okay? You're going to play ball? Well, you're too wimpy to do that. You'll never be able to handle it. Every negative thing that gets thrown at us, okay, fear creeps in very slowly, maybe very subtly, and it starts to destroy us. But fear is a liar. But unfortunately, it's one that's believed by too many people. Okay? Believers, listen up. I know I use this verse often, so you know what you need to do? Deal with it, okay? Don't be afraid of it. 2 Timothy 1:7, this is from the King James Version. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Okay, many versions translate fear as timidity. Okay, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. But the Greek there is dileia, which means fear. And they're taking the root word, which is dileos, which means timidity. But you go to the original Greek, no, that's not what it is. It's fear. So let's look at fear in a different way. Okay, Proverbs 1:7 from the NIV. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now we're talking about something different. Okay, although there is a phobia for this, zeusophobia, is a fear of God or gods. But in our biblical understanding, the fear of God is totally different. It's a respect, a reverence. Like one person defined it, it's knowing who God is and knowing it's not you. That's the fear of God that you need to have. It's knowing that God knows best. It's kind of like the fear that you would teach a child around a hot stove. You know, that you want them to not touch it. You want them to respect it. You know, the stove is on and it's hot and it could burn you. You know, I mean, it's good that it's on because, you know, there's cookies in there or there's dinner in there. And so, you know, that's good. But if you touch it, you know, you're going to get burned. I mean, we don't want our kids or grandkids to wake up to nightmares about the stove, but we want them to respect the heat and to know that it's good. And it's the fear that a child should have of their parents. Unfortunately, we don't see that too much today. But it's a respect, a reverence that there should be there for parent-child relations. So here's a good verse for us to end on. 1 John 4:18. This is the NIV. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. If you're a believer, you have the perfect love of God in you. And so I want to pray for those believers that are still dealing with fear, you know, in ways that they shouldn't be, where fear is kind of taking over a part of their life or all of their life. So I just want to lift you up in prayer. And Lord, I just ask that you would help them to feel your love instead of the fear that Satan's throwing at them. To know that they have that love living inside of them, and that they don't have to be afraid anymore. And that when they feel that fear starting to overwhelm them, that they need to turn that around and let Satan know that they don't have to live in that fear, because they're your child. And those that don't believe, you know, you need to know that God is the one. His perfect love, like it says, can drive out that fear. And so I just pray that you'll find your way to the Lord, because he is the one that's going to help you to get through those fearful times, help you to get through the situations that bring fear into your life. And so you need to know that Jesus died for your sins, and that he rose from the dead, and that he's coming back. You need to believe those things in your heart, that Jesus, what he did wasn't just for people 2,000 years ago. It wasn't just for those people that go to church, that he did that for you, that you've never had too much sin in your life, that Jesus can't forgive you. So reach out to him today. So, Father, I just pray that you'll help each one to hear and to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.